Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
These trumpet presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You know, long.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Boiler up right off the bat. I beat you to it.
It's all yours.
The way you say it, though, is just more appropriate to a train going through a town. Boiler up. That's one of those you're rolling through, you're running late to get your kids from school, and you hear the... It's like, no, no, no! All right. Good morning, everybody. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lon Tay. He is Derek Piper. Kyle Tosk, not Trosk, is to my right, playing in the slot today. We are going to start out talking some football, and we're going to talk some high school football, because on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line, queued up right now is Kyle Jackson for Centennial, Centennial Chargers football coach. Coach, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on today, guys.
Absolutely. Have you been getting calls from colleges or the NFL saying, all right, you're averaging 53 a game, what are you doing, and you need to come work here?
No, that hasn't happened quite yet. maybe a few more games in that direction. We'll see what happens, but not quite yet. I do have colleges calling and asking about some of our players.
I bet,
but not necessarily asking about me just yet.
Well, I'm gonna let old Pipes, you know, the Centennial guy, get a lot of questions here,
yes,
in a
sir.
Minute. But I've got to ask you this. I just right off the top, I know a lot of times in high school football, it depends on the schedule. And I think early on with the two Peoria teams, obviously, and then a good win over Maywood as well, you know, that makes a difference. And you'll get kind of the heat of the schedule as we roll along, including tonight against Central. But I don't care who you're playing. When you're throwing 53 a game, you're doing something right. So why has it clicked so easily and so well on offense?
Well, I think part of it is just we've kind of been building this thing for 4 years now, and we've got some guys on the offensive side of the ball, well, on both sides of the ball, I guess I should say, who have been starting for three of those 4 years. Or Brandon Harvey's been starting for almost not all of those 4 years, but the tail end of the first year and ever since. So it's just kind of been a lot of hard work, a lot of buildup. We've kind of had to retool things a little bit around Kellen, because he's a different kind of a quarterback than,
sure,
than Brady was. But you know, again, he's really stepping up to the challenge. We've got a great line in front of both of those guys, Harvey and Kellen Davis. We got some good receivers around Kellen, so we're really kind of living kind of in the realm of what our line, where our line can take us, and what Kellen can do as a young quarterback and what he's comfortable with. And then as he grows, we're going to keep growing and building the offense around him. But like you said, so far, we've felt pretty good about what we've been able to do.
I bet.
Kyle, first of all, great to hear from you. I can call you Kyle now instead of Coach, because you're not coaching me in JV anymore. But hey,
it's always Coach.
Let's just get this out of the way. JV football Centennial 2006. Kyle Jackson, offensive coordinator. Myself playing quarterback. Ravonte Rice playing running back. Life was never better.
That's right. That's right.
Long time no pop, no talk, Pipe.
I know, man.
Good to hear from you. I hope you and your family are doing well, man.
Same to you, man. I know you're doing well with what you're doing with the Chargers. Last year, first playoff win since
2006. Whoa, can't go any further. Hold on.
No.
Did you get mad at Pipes if he did not hand the ball off to Rice? Like, in other words, like, was he calling audibles at the line and you're like, Piper, what are you doing?
No. I think we were all on the same page about what we needed to do to be successful that year.
Yeah.
We let Pipes throw the ball around a little bit.
You did.
Let him have some time.
You did. Except Ravonte would say on a pass play, he's like, I'm going to be out here in the flat. I'm like, you're supposed to block for me. Like, don't try to freelance this.
Yeah. Ray was more the freelancer than Pipes was. That is a true statement.
That is awesome. All right, Derek.
Well, Kyle, back to your program now and what you've done with it. The fact that it was 2006 prior to last year, the last time Centennial had gotten a playoff win. What's changed for you? What allowed you to get it back to a place where they're going to the playoffs, where you guys have a 3-0 start, chance to go 4-0 tonight? What's the key to that for you in rebuilding this program?
Sure. We came in from the get-go saying the key to success is building culture. And that's where we started. With that first year when we went, 0-9, my coaches hate that I keep bringing that up, or that other people keep bringing that up, but it's the truth. In that first year, that's what we stressed. I told them from day one, guys, I don't care about wins and losses. You know, we came in knowing we were going to struggle, knowing that we had work to do. And so we focused on building culture and trying to build a program that people want to be a part of. Our vision for this program is that it's more than football. It's about something much, much bigger than football, and that is producing these young men that they go out into the world and they are good fathers, good husbands, good employees, good citizens, and we're teaching them the skills to do that, to be successful in life in general. And to us, that's what football is. We love it. It's a great sport. It's a great game that we love to play and coach, but it's a means to an end, and that's the end for us. And we said when we started, we got to build a culture that's going to do that. We got to build a culture that people want to be a part of, that they understand, hey, this is going to be good for me. And so that's kind of what we set out to do. And we also said that if we can do that, football will come along with it. If we're taking care of business in the classroom and in the weight room and all these other places, the football field will take care of itself. And that has, for the most part, happened for us. Once we've kind of got that culture in place, now we're building on that culture and growing our program because of it.
I know the answer to this question. I just want to hear your take on it. And those for the listeners, what does Centennial Central mean? What does that game mean to you and to the program?
It's, of course it's a rivalry game. So it's a big week. We get hyped up for it. You want to beat Central every year. But at the same time, we also, we don't want to look at it like it's our Super Bowl or like it's, it's kind of a 6-1, half a dozen of another. On one hand, yeah, it's a rivalry game. We want to get hyped up. We want to beat Central every year. We want to take home that Twin City Championship trophy. On the other hand, we also want to look at it as just another game because we've really gone into this season kind of thinking, hey, everybody asks, how are you going to build on the success from last year? How are you going to keep it going? Well, we're going to stay focused. We're going to stay humble. We're going to take it one game at a time. And one of those games happens to be Central. So, yeah, it's a rivalry game, but really we also see it as just kind of another step on a bigger path of wanting to get back to the playoffs again, wanting to go deeper in the playoffs again, wanting to compete for some bigger things. So, of course, we're excited, we're pumped, we're fired up for a rivalry game, but it ain't the Super Bowl.
I bet. Kyle Jackson, our guest. Kyle, what would it mean to get win number 4 after 4 weeks and know that you're on the doorstep essentially of nailing down another playoff spot?
It's going to be huge, right? If we can win this game tonight, be one step closer, right? We're going to be excited about that. We're going to celebrate that. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we're going to get back to work and start focusing on next week and what we got to do to clinch that next game. But of course, tonight's first. So we got to knuckle down, take care of business tonight first.
How is the maturation process gone from Kellen Davis? I was reading an article earlier this week that he didn't even think about playing quarterback right away when he first got to high school. How have you seen him grow, and what's the steps for him to get to where he needs to be for you to go deep in the playoffs and achieve some of those goals you're talking about?
He's grown tremendously just in these first year, because we're not even through the second year yet. He did a good job of kind of getting under Brady's wing last year, and Brady did a good job of
kind of taking him under his wing and embracing him and helping him learn and grow. Again, he's a bit of a different, you know, style of kid than Brady was. So we're adjusting to that a little bit. But we're asking him to do a number of different things. Play quarterback. We got him playing a little bit of defense at some safety when we need him there. We want him to be a leader, obviously, since we're having him play quarterback. And he has pretty much stepped into every role, every job we're asking him to do. He has done it willingly and with success. He's a great kid. He's a great leader. He's a great athlete. He's a great student. He's doing a lot of good work for us, and we're happy to have him and excited to see how he grows as the future progresses.
It's always a coach sleeps better when he knows he's got a quarterback ready to roll. I mean, I would assume it's that simple, right? It's like, all right, I'm good to go.
Yep.
What can we expect, Coach, out of Central? I know you're not coaching them. I get that. So there's going to be some wrinkles. I'm sure they'll show you. But what would we know as a layman going into this game of what Central's going to bring to the table tonight?
So one of the things they surprised us with a little bit last year was they came in blitzing more than we thought they would. So kind of feel like they're probably going to try to do that again tonight, since they kind of caught us off guard a little bit with that last year. We weren't necessarily prepared for it. Now, made some adjustments during the game and ended up all right. But that's one thing I think. Obviously, on the offensive side of the ball, they're going to run their wing T, and they're going to try to do what Central does, which is run the ball, control the clock, keep the ball out of our offense's hands. Those sorts of things to try to slow the game down and try to keep the ball in their possession and keep us from scoring. So that's what we think we're going to get from them tonight. You know, like always, it's a rivalry game. So,
sure.
You know, who's good, who's bad, who's better, whatever, all of that kind of gets tossed out the window. And we've been stressing our guys all week. We have to stay focused, stay humble. And that's what's going to help us go win this ball game.
I love it. Visiting with Kyle Jackson, a couple more for Coach Jackson. He's got a game tonight, so we need to let him get ready for that. Centennial Chargers head football coach. I'm skipping around here, but back to you and the Chargers. What does it do to a school, and what does it do to a program to make the playoffs and get a victory like you did last season? I know, obviously, winning first round, you get beat in the second round, but to get that first-round win last season in the postseason, what does that do for your program and the excitement around the school?
I think it's a huge confidence booster for guys in the program, right? It's, you know, something we talked about last year was, hey, this is something we haven't done yet, guys. This is something we don't have experience with this. So in that sense, being able to not just go to the playoffs and get a playoff game, but have some success, get one under your belt that you've won, I think that's huge for confidence. And then, of course, around the school and the community, you know, we have felt a ton of support. Of course, you know, when the old saying, winning solves all problems or whatever, you know, we've kind of felt that in terms of, you know, a growth and support, a growth and just people being excited both in the building, in the community, about Centennial football,
sure,
and hopefully about football in general,
right,
in the community.
Right.
That's part of our goal. You know, I'd love to see, you know, all three Champaign-Urbana schools be good at football and football be regrown in this community, because it's kind of faltered the last few years. So that's something else that we're hoping is an impact of our success.
One thing I've always enjoyed, and of course I went to a small school, Villa Grove, right? But mm-hmm. And it seems like, you know, in smaller towns, especially in most small towns, football is just the king, right? And the community comes out, et cetera. But one thing I've loved through the years at Illinois tailgates is, one year there'll be a bunch of Centennial athletes that'll come by and visit. I don't know why, but it just happens to be like the parents there that at that point, you know, have kids at Centennial. Then the next year it's Central, and then the next year it's Centennial. And this past weekend we had the JV quarterback and the entire offensive line of Champaign Central sitting there watching the Alabama game. And it was just kind of fun watching them all gel together and you know, the excitement they had. So it's always cool to me to see these kids come through and you know, just to know that, all right, there's the future of these programs.
Yeah.
And they're all great kids. That's the great thing about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you can get young kids interested in playing football and interested in coming out, that's huge, I think, just for the sport in general, which, again, has seen some, you know, had some issues in the last several years between concussions and other issues that I think kind of pushed people away. I think we are starting to see a little bit of a rebound there in terms of participation throughout the country. So, and I think success at any level, right, whether it's
us, U of I, Central, Urbana, it doesn't matter, helps breed that interest and grow those lower-level programs, which is huge for the game.
I love it. Coach.
Central players would not have been hanging out at my tailgate. I'll let you know that. Just so you know.
Hey, I noticed they picked the one tailgate you weren't going to be at.
That's right.
You know, they did their scouting.
Pipes. I appreciate that, Pipes.
You got it. Kyle Jackson.
Yeah. Hey, before we let Kyle go, we're going to talk some Bears-Packers here with Pipes, and he's going to get nervous and run to the corner and put his thumb in his mouth because Aaron Rodgers is going to. Any advice, Coach, on maybe how Pipes should handle this weekend?
All I'm going to say is go Bears.
That's right.
I love it.
I'm with you there, Pipe.
Well, I'm going to say go Chargers. Centennial head coach Kyle Jackson tonight.
Awesome.
Tommy Stewart Field, 7 p.m. against Central. I usually got to play the unbiased reporter. I'm going to say go beat the crap out of the Maroons. Best of luck the rest of the way, Kyle. Great talking to you.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
You too, buddy. Kyle Jackson. I'd love to have him, like, as a dad. I bet he is, like, super excitable and fun, and I know his boys probably are just like, yeah, let's go play football.
He's fun.
Now, if you have
a practice where you're not bringing it, you don't got the energy and the passion,
look out.
He's going to speak it right into your existence real quick.
Isn't it funny how coaches can scare you like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've always told this story. I know our many listeners that have listened for a long time always hear these things, and I repeat them because I'm old and I don't remember now. But, like, the one time we lost a game on a Friday night in basketball, we shouldn't have, and Coach Riddle was like, I'll see you boys at 8 a.m., and we're like, oh. So we get to the gym, and we're there at 7:45 because that was 8, and our point guard starts bringing the balls out to practice, and Coach Riddle walks in the gym, and he's like, Chris, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I'm just getting the balls. And he's like, we're not going to need those today. And we're all like, oh, crap. And I've said this story before, and it's true, that I had a buddy, Brad Beasley, who could make himself puke. And finally, after about the 15th line drill, I was a senior. I looked at Brad. He was a junior. And I'm like, make it happen this next trip down. And he went over to the garbage can and just totally yacked. And Coach is like, that's enough for today. I was like. Coaches have a way of doing that. Mm. So Coach could get on you a little bit, huh?
Well, he was the OC, so we didn't have things going. It was tough slide. We had some talent, though.
I mean, I bet.
Revonte's your running back. Some fast receivers threw the ball on the field.
That's awesome.
We were pretty good. It was fun times.
With your height, I could understand how you'd be able to – you wouldn't be, you know, it's like the opposite in the NFL. I mean, these offensive linemen are like – and college, they're like 6'6". Like, what's DeVito? He's probably 6'2", 6'3". I don't know. I've never stood next to him. But everybody in front of him is like 6'6". And it's like, what? How do you even see over those guys? That wasn't a problem for Pipes.
Was not.
Okay. That's good. Did you any varsity action at QB, or were you more wide receiver?
Played a little quarterback and some wide receiver, too.
That's awesome. I never played football. I wish I would have. I was going to do it my senior year, and they wouldn't let me do golf and football at the same time. And I'm like, really? I mean, it's golf.
There was nothing more satisfying. If you won the night before
and
you got, of course, beat up. And
yeah.
When you're a quarterback, too, you get a couple sacks trying to scramble out of bounds. You get smacked.
Listen, I can hear offensive linemen right now going,
exactly.
That one sack you got.
I'm talking about the quarterback. Yeah, we had some real contact a couple of plays.
Right.
But if you feel like you got hit by a train the next day, but if you won, you got the biggest smile on your face.
Oh, I bet.
It's a great feeling.
I bet it is. And you go buy the Champaign News Gazette, read all about it. Yeah, that's fun stuff. So, again, tonight, Central, they're 1-2 against Champaign Centennial, who's 3-0. And, again, they're averaging – Centennial's averaging about 53 a game. Now, and I said this, and I hope I didn't sound mean by that, but they have played the Peoria teams, Manuel and Richwoods, and just year to year, they're not very strong. So it's a little bit of a benefit of a nice start to a schedule, if you will, but I certainly think after what Centennial did last year, making the playoffs and winning a game, they're obviously just bring on the tougher schedule. They're ready for that. And Central, on the flip side, has played the two of the normal teams, which is never easy.
Normal's been tough for a long time.
For a long time.
Especially community.
Yep. And I know Centennial's got them in their sights, has those two schools in their sights down the road. But, look, it's all going to be fun tonight at Tommy Stewart Field. 7 p.m. kickoff. That was fun. Diane Ducey helped us set up that interview with Coach Jackson from Centennial.
Well, I trust in him as a Charger.
Yeah.
And knowing that it wasn't until he got on the varsity squad that shotgun was invented at Centennial. Everyone around us was running this weird formation where the quarterback was not under center. And then Kyle got there, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, we can actually play modern football.
Why can't we do that? See, like when I grew up, I mean, that makes me sound old. But it was all about running the football. But we had a quarterback, James Fancher, who actually went on to play college, I think at Eureka. So we threw the football a little bit. But then here comes Stan Winkie at Tuscola and a guy named Dusty Burke, his quarterback. And the next thing you know, they're in shotgun formation. And the little local at the time, we're like, what are you doing? Like, is that legal? Are you supposed to do that? I don't think you're allowed to do that in 1A football. But he literally, Coach Winkie, I mean, Stan just changed everything in terms of that and all the success that Tuscola had under Winkie. And, of course, they've continued that on through other coaches. But it's amazing what he was able to do. And I thought to myself, yeah, why not? Because nobody's used to – nobody runs that as an offense. So because of that, they don't know how to stop it. Right? So it's like, man, for a few years, it was such an advantage for Tuscola to throw the ball all over the field. And on top of that, they had unbelievable athletes, and Dusty Burke could throw the ball and run. He could do whatever he wanted. So it was just, it's pretty cool to see the football, I guess, just continue. Isn't it funny? I know we got to catch a break, but we were just talking about this with NFL quarterbacks, like Jalen Hurts. Like the one series that he had last Sunday, I think he had three runs of over 15 yards on one series. And I'm like, man, that never used to happen. But that's the new football right now. And you wonder, because things change, right? I mean, everything just kind of changes. Well, we used to have the West Coast offense. I'm sure there's variations of it still. But it's one of those situations where eventually the defense said, okay, hold on, we're going to catch up to this West Coast offense, and we're going to stop it. So then something else evolved, right? Mm-hmm. So now it seems like you've got more of the running quarterback, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. I mean, your guy Fields. I mean, just pick a guy, Kyler Murray. And you look at that and you wonder, like, okay, so how long will this go until it's no longer a good idea to keep running your quarterback? Which I think coaches
would – we've seen some of that already,
right,
yeah.
I think coaches would prefer you don't run anyway, but I mean – obviously, they work that in. They work plays for Fields and Murray and Josh Allen and those guys to get runs, you know, bootlegs and stuff, because they're so stinking athletic, and a lot of times they're about as big as a linebacker.
Right. Just the standard of athleticism for the quarterback position has just continued to progress going forward. Now, you still got to be able to make throws, and that, to me, and I think to a lot of people, is still primary as far as what defines a really good quarterback, and those that win – big games, win Super Bowls, are those that can really throw it. It's not just a limited, let's run around and not be able to make big throws. That's one knock that I've had on Lamar Jackson for a while he's a dynamic runner and look as a supreme talent, but he's got to be able to develop as a passer to really be able to win in the playoffs and all that. So, certainly adding that in. I mean, even Mahomes can move around, even not only just in the pocket, but to scramble out, to pick up some yards here and there and then just be a ridiculously talented thrower of the football.
It's incredible. Mahomes gets it done last night. Chiefs get it done against the Chargers. I want to ask you about that game when we come back, and I'd like to talk a little Packers-Bears as we move forward. I have a little sound from Matt Eberflus, the Chicago Bears head coach. So we'll hear from him. Next hour, we'll hear from Brett Bielema. He met with the media. Of course, a bye week for Illinois. But I was able to listen to a lot of it today, a lot of interesting stuff from Coach on his squad as they will prepare for it'd be a week from last night on a Thursday night against Chattanooga and then a long rest for Wisconsin.
Mean we can't watch Steelers-Browns next Thursday on Amazon Prime? We got an Illinois game instead?
Can I talk about that as well when we come back?
Old man takes
are next. 359-2255, 217-359-2255. That's the U of I Illini Lake text line. Coach Jackson from Centennial just joined us on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. Same
and we're counting,
number.
We're counting Jay Layman, Central Products. So that's the balance.
Oh, I forgot about that.
the voice of the Maroons, and then you get voice of the Chargers.
I mean, we're almost to political season, and you're supposed to give, you know, Democrats a minute, Republicans a minute.
We don't want to get in trouble for that.
I didn't think about that with Jay because I thought, whoa, we're kind of on the boundary of getting a little too heavy on Centennial, but then I forgot about Jay. Man, Monday could be a fun show.
I know Monday, I really need Coach Jackson and the boys to get it done so I can throw some jabs at Jay.
I may just stay out of the way Monday for the first 10 minutes and just let you guys just jab. Maybe not physically.
Not really jab because you're right. We know who would win that. And that wouldn't be all that entertaining.
No, right. We'll do it vocally.
Okay.
Then I think that's a fair fight. All right, again, find us on Twitter, at The Drive 93.5. I'm at Lante, ESPN. See you.
I'm at DPiper247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to TayandPiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at StevieJay.com, StevieJay.com. You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
Derek, do you follow Kyle Tosk on Twitter?
I don't know.
I don't know if I do either. Kyle, do we follow you on Twitter?
No.
Well, throw your tweet, Twitter,
whatever
it's
called.
Well,
I'm waiting for his senior year to do it because now that he was a sophomore on Tuesday. He'll be a junior today, sometime next week.
Next week he'll be a senior and we'll be able to follow him. What is your Twitter handle, Kyle?
KTausk13, K-T-A-U-S-K. 13.
I love it. All right. So give Kyle a follow, man. He's a good kid, and he is going to intern with us this semester, maybe more. We'll see as we roll along, but excited to have him joining the program and throwing in his input on occasion. Not very often, though, Kyle. I don't need to hear it that often. All right, we're back. It is The Drive.
Bird lovers, a Sunday morning tradition is back. Meet at Anita Purvis Nature Center Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. Experts will lead hikes through Busey Woods looking for birds. The bird walk wraps up at 9 a.m. Learn how to spot birds and how to identify birds. Call Anita Purvis Nature Center at 217-384-4062 if you have any questions. Learn more at urbanaparks.org. Urbana Park District. You belong here.
If your car breaks down or needs to be repaired, trust the experts at Beaumont Alignment Plus to step up. For routine maintenance like tune-ups, oil changes, brakes, or tires, you can count on Beaumont. They'll also service bigger issues like alignment, suspension work, starters, or transmission problems. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for all your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. You can trust the dedicated, family-owned team of professionals at Beaumont Alignment Plus. Online at BeaumontAlignment.com.
Have you been to the Long Branch Steakhouse? The Long Branch Steakhouse happens to be a family-owned restaurant in the small town of Gifford that just happens to serve up incredible steaks. We're talking fresh, hand-cut steaks served to perfection. So if your fantasy is to have a great meal in a great family restaurant in a great small community, visit the Long Branch Steakhouse. Oh, and don't forget to ask for the frog dressing, the Brussels sprouts, and the incredible macaroni and cheese. The Long Branch Steakhouse, located in beautiful downtown Gifford.
Another season, another reason to update your home for fall at Prairie Gardens. There are fall blooms for every room with 50% off all silk stems, branches, and berries. And new fall placemats, napkins, and more, just $1.97. You'll fall in love with irresistible candles and scents. Large 15-ounce candle jars, just $6.97. Plus, haunt your home with Halloween collections full of spooktacular finds and savings. Prairie Gardens, extraordinary gardening, home decor, and more.
There is one name you need to know in car repair in the Central Illinois area, and that's John Marshall. John is the owner of PDR Automotive in Urbana and makes it his mission to know that your car will start when you come to pick it up. John strives for a repair in the most efficient time possible and is the right person to take care of your car. From tires to engine to electrical to the simple oil change. Trust in John at PDR. 1008 North Cunningham in Urbana. John's team will take care of you like family.
Like most banks, we offer an app that lets you do pretty much everything you need from your pocket. But at Iroquois Federal, we believe great banking is less about the app you tap and more about what you tap into. And for us, that's a hometown bank where decisions are made locally by the same folks you'll bump into on the bleachers at the next big game, providing the hometown touch that's made us part of the community for nearly 140 years. Iroquois Federal. Still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Need a little good news in your life? State Farm has new lower car insurance rates in Illinois, so you can now get the service and convenience of State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow at an even better price. That's right. State Farm can help you save more cash and get the good neighbor service you deserve. It's the real deal for car insurance. State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is ready to help you save in Champaign-Urbana. Call Kurt today at 352-1411. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you need insurance, you gotta go to Insurance Providers Group. They can help you like they've helped me. Hi, it's Jay Layman. Insurance Providers Group can get you a quote on all aspects of personal, business, agricultural, life, and health insurance and employee benefits. They represent many insurance companies that allow them to provide you with the most competitive rates and the best coverage. Call Kyle Lewis at 217-352-7080 or email Kyle at ipgins.com or go to the website for a quote at ipgins.com.
Carpet Weavers is flooring their customers. They work with the biggest brands to bring you the best selections and prices on hardwood, luxury tile, carpet, and more. Stop in at 616 West Market View Drive in Champaign and let one of their sales associates help you find the perfect flooring for your lifestyle. Their 100% satisfaction guarantee allows you to be confident in your purchase. Carpet Weavers has been flooring people with beautiful carpet and flooring since 1988. In fact, they're nationally ranked as one of the top 25 specialty flooring stores in the country. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Crossroads Contractor Supply, bringing us our Stevie J Broadcasting Law Enforcement Official of the Month.
From the University of Illinois Police Department, he is Pete Milinovic. A police officer, what's it like and what don't they know?
I don't think they know how much we are aware the preciousness of our job and what our responsibilities are. Everyone knows, like, there's a good chance I'm not going to go home and see my family again, and I'm okay with that, as long as it's saving someone else's family. From the outside looking in, that's a scary risk, but that's a burden, like, I'm honored to carry. Like, I want to be that person. When your family's in trouble, I want them to see that when we come there, that the relief, that we're going to do whatever it takes, even if it takes the ultimate sacrifice, to make sure they're safe. I'm going to show up every day, no matter what, won't hesitate. And I know every man and woman wearing the badge in our department feels the same way.
Crossroads Contractor Supply, delivering within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana, supporting our Law Enforcement Official of the Month.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Max Kellerman. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
So loud. So loud.
What'd you say?
So my mom recently had some minor surgery, right? And I've had to stay home and with her and help, or at her house, I mean. So for the most part, we've gotten along. But one habit that she's gotten into, and I know she's listening to the show, so hello, Mom.
Don't out yourself too much.
Right. One habit she gets into is... I'll be like, she'll say, can you run and get that extra pillow in my bedroom so I can prop my knee up or, you know, et cetera. And I'm like, yeah. So I'll leave and go to the other side of her house. And then she starts talking to me. And I hear this faint, like, hey, Lon, can you run? I'm like, what? And so then I'm like, Mom, I'm coming right back. Like, I'm going to be back in the den in approximately 10 seconds. So she's like, Lon, she hadn't been feeling, I mean, obviously after surgery, you know, she's 82. I mean, but she's a trooper. She's up walking around and she'll be out golfing soon. But she's just like, well, look, I don't feel well. I'm like, no, I know that. I'm just asking you not to visit with me when I'm on the other side of the house because, Mom, I've done a radio show now 12 years and I don't hear anything. Like, literally, it's cost me some hearing. And so me being on the other side of the house is not conducive to you then starting a conversation with me about the laundry in the basement. Right? But I've tried to be a good son.
It sounds like you need walkie-talkies.
You know what? That's a great idea. Although I'd probably turn it off. Actually, she probably turned
wrong
it off.
Channel.
She probably turned it off. I am amazed, you know, because essentially I've been staying with her. I'm amazed at how into Cardinals baseball she is. It's like she will text me and say, do you want me to stop or start watching the game or do you want me to wait till you get home? I'm like, no, I'm listening to it. So go ahead and start. She's like, okay. I mean, but if she does the pregame, the game, the post game, and she watches all of it. And if she doesn't get it done that night, the next morning, that's the first thing she's watching. I'm like, my goodness. But your parents probably the same way. They love that stuff. We're kind of the same way too, right?
Yeah.
The pregame is never interesting.
I don't watch the pregame. No.
I mean, there's too many commercials. I'm sorry. I know commercials drive the media, and we appreciate every commercial that we have on here. But on those pregames, you don't get a lot of substance is what I mean. It's just a lot of, hey, coming up next, Jimmy Cat Hayes catches up with Nolan Arenado. And then it's like, brr. So I don't do a lot of the pregame, but I love the postgame.
I've been watching more postgame these mm-hmm. days, but mostly the credit is to my son. When I'm feeding him my arm is underneath him as I hold him and feed him the bottle, there's no other hand to change the channel. So then you're kind of just stuck on, well, the ninth is over, and here's the postgame, and I'm feeding him until he goes to sleep, and we're going to watch it.
Exactly.
But it's good stuff.
Isn't that the best, too? You've got the built-in excuse for sitting down and watching anything. It's like, well, I got to sit with Cade,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, that's – now, one day when Cade is up and not at the house and there's leaves that need to be raked, you don't have that excuse anymore. Haley's going to be like, are you raking the leaves? I was going to watch the Bears game, but no, absolutely I'm going to rake those leaves. I mean, who's going to watch the Bears game? That was my fault. Can we have another child?
You're bumming me out, man. If they're playing the Packers, I'll gladly go rake the leaves.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might want to just go ahead and do that. All right, speaking of that, this is in Lambeau, right? This weekend? Tomorrow?
It is.
No, Sunday.
Sunday night.
Are you feeling, I mean, look, for obvious reasons, a confidence level of a Chicago Bear fan right now, playing the Packers, no matter it's Soldier or Lambeau, cannot be strong. After the week one where the Packers got beat, didn't score many points, the Bears end up beating a pretty good Niners team, we assume. Are you feeling a little better going into this or not really?
I've learned to – there are different stages of protecting your heart
yes.
and guarding yourself versus being too hopeful. And I'm at the point of I'm just – am I going to care about it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get blown out again, will it hurt? Yeah, probably.
No.
But I'm not going to get too hopeful going into this game. I think that if I'm going to stack up the positives, and I still got a few days to really convince myself and buy in by game time and a few beverages to help me get there, the Bears should have some confidence after beating the Niners.
I agree.
A good football team. And not only – it wasn't just too fluky. It was, all right, the field conditions are terrible. The most physical team that's going to be able to run the football and stop the run is going to win the game, and the Bears were able to do that. I mean, that's supposed to be the Niners' strength.
Right.
And then the Packers looked horrendous. Now, the problem is we've seen the Packers look horrendous in week one and bounce back, and no matter what spot the Packers are in during their season, when they play the Bears, they just happen to
– it is amazing.
To win. So
it gets you frustrated.
It does. It really does. And our owner – Aaron Rodgers is pretty good about making sure he wins when he faces his team.
Wait, is he going to move you? Like, you're getting a new stadium, and Aaron's going to be like, nah, here's what we're doing. We didn't really get a chance to dissect. I want to keep going on Packers-Bears, but to dissect the win over the Niners, obviously Justin Fields had that great play where he – kept the play going. It turns into a touchdown catch. But like I mentioned to you, that was the third quarter. He had 22 yards passing.
Yep.
Now, it was also a tropical storm rolling through Chicago. So, I mean, I'm not ripping on Fields necessarily, but I love the way the running backs performed all day. I felt like the offensive line held its own. And then defensively, you guys had – I mean, heck, Jackson had a pick six, right? I mean, you were making – plays defensively all over the field, but I didn't watch it as keenly as you. What did you take from that, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that maybe could get you excited going forward?
I think defensively, to have Eddie Jackson intercept the pass for what felt like the first time in forever, what was a good thing to see. They were able to – they weren't shutting down the run, but they did good enough on that front. Once Elijah Mitchell went out in the second half, then really the Niners couldn't run the ball as well. Came up with a couple of turnovers. Deebo Samuel, early in that game, was close to getting in the end zone, and luckily they were able to pop one out. I think it was Brisker that forced the fumble and then even recovered it. Our rookie safety, who's a really good players based on what we've seen so far. I know it's a small sample size, but been right. encouraged by what he's shown. So I just think that an Eberflus-led defense with some more talent on the back end as far as the secondary goes is something to feel encouraged about. It's just whether we got to be able to make Rodgers uncomfortable. That yeah. was something that the Vikings yeah. were doing with their pass rush on the edge because they've got tackles that are injured. And I mean, Bakhtiari, when's the last time he's played in a game? It's felt like a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like we're going to get into – because the Packers, with their questions at receiver, would rather run the ball a lot more than they have traditionally. The Bears just aren't going to put them in a game script of, oh, we're trailing. We got to throw the ball
right.
a bunch. It's just
right.
you got to be able to slow down Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon as much as possible. And the biggest thing, though, is offensively, like, you can't throw for 20 yards
no.
in a quarter, let alone a half. I know that it wasn't passing conditions. You got to be far more dynamic with your passing game. And Fields has to just not make mistakes. Not only that, but you know, make big plays, but also we see even last year the Bears jumped on the Packers early when they played in Lambeau, but then Fields threw a pick six, and that really just turned the game and everything. You know, the story happened as we all know it, is the Packers won comfortably.
Yeah, and then it starts creeping, right, in your mind. I know these are professional athletes. That's not supposed to creep in. You've got brand new guys every year that don't understand maybe how the Packers have dominated the Bears. I'm sure they've heard all about it leading up to the game, but you wouldn't think in their mind they would be like, oh, crap, we threw a pick six. Now doom is impending, but it seems like that happens. I want to give you a guy's name, and I want you to tell me if this has any impact for you in terms of hope for this Sunday, and that's Luke Getsy, who spent 7 years with the Packers as basically their quarterback coach, wide receiver coach, kind of an assistant offensive coordinator, if you will, now with the Bears. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear from Matt Eberflus, Bears head coach, and he has, I think, there's three questions he's asked. The second one deals a little bit with Luke Getsy here and his knowledge, obviously, that Packers offense. But, you know, I mean, look, they lose Getsy to the Bears. They're not going to sit there and change everything. But yet, I mean, he's got to know something, right? There's got to be a couple things he can help the Bears on.
He's going to know the system,
mm-hmm.
although I'm not going to say it's really been a big secret
right.
As far as right. what Aaron Rodgers and that offense is going to do to
well
you.
Said.
It's just being able to stop it. I think the biggest yeah. thing is, number one, does he still have a key to the locker room?
Mm.
Number two, does he know where Rodgers hides the ayahuasca, the psychedelics? And number three, can we get the ayahuasca from Rodgers' locker to the Gatorade? And then the Bears might have – that might be a real thing that changes the outcome of the game.
Boom.
If those things align, I'm really big on your premise of Getsy
okay.
being able to help the Bears win this.
Okay, I like this. I like this idea. You deserve yeah! – oh, what is it called? What's the psychedelic called?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca. Is that like an Iowa – Husky, I mean, the weed's bad in Indiana. So is it better in ayahuasca? Iowa? I mean, it must be. Hey, here is your head coach, Matt Eberflus, about this Green Bay Packers.
There's a system that they're in, but the system highlights the skill. So, you know, to me, it's like when it's a gotta-have-it situation, well, who are they going to? They're going to go to their best player. Everybody knows that, right? They know that. You know, when they had Adams, they were going to him. So you just try to fingerprint guys and get a blueprint on guys, and we have a decent understanding of what that is, but certainly they're still going to highlight their skill, for sure.
How much of a difference does it actually make to have, in preparing for Green Bay's offense, to have Getsy, to have someone that coached there that basically literally has their playbook? I mean, does that factor into things this week?
Yeah, I mean, it does. You know, certainly they have the insight of that, but it's still going to come down to execution. You're still going to have to make the plays when you need to make them, and you're going to still have to play fundamentally sound. You're just going to have to, because when you're playing against a quarterback that's this experienced and this good, if you make a mistake, he's going to make you pay. So you got to make sure that you're sound fundamentally, and that's offense and defense and kicking, you know. So we got to be sound, aggressive, and smart.
How often have you run into that situation that you just described where if you make a mistake, he's going to find it? You literally have to be perfect, it seems like, or else you'll pay.
Yeah, you just got to be on your details. You got to be on your
details. Does that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there's, you know, we've played against Breeze and Brady and, you know, and all the guys, you know, make the list, right? The top five guys in the last decade or so, but those guys all find it, and they're just so good at it. And that's what makes them special. That's what makes this league special, is guys like that.
Yeah, and he's talking there. The question was about Aaron Rodgers and how he can hurt you. I laughed when I heard some of that press conference to the point of, like, I just mentioned to you about the idea that as a Bears fan, you understand how Green Bay has absolutely dominated you in Aaron Rodgers' career, probably a lot with Brett Favre as well, I would assume.
Yes.
Okay. So
my entire lifetime. Okay. Essentially. Yes.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I don't mean to bring this up.
It's okay.
But even listening to the Bears reporters ask questions, it's almost as though, like, they understand. Like, in other words, it's like, yeah, so Aaron Rodgers is going to torch you for 400 yards and four touchdowns. Is there anything you can do while that happens? Or, you know, I mean, do you put whiskey in your hot chocolate knowing that Aaron Rodgers is going to attack you? I mean, it's just funny, like, hearing their questions. The questions are almost geared towards Aaron Rodgers is a freaking stud, and what are you going to do to stop him? I don't know why that made me laugh.
It's
today,
like, you're going through the screening of a new Bond film.
Yes.
And you're trying to figure out, what can we have this villain do to kind of create some havoc, like, see if he can really mess with him a little bit. But in the end, we know James Bond's going to win. He's going to be alive at the very end.
That's a great analogy.
That's it. We know the ending.
Yep.
It's just what happens in between kickoff and then the very last drive, which we've seen even competitive Bears-Packers games where Rodgers just throws like a 60-yard bomb on a third and long and just rips your heart out. I've experienced those. I've experienced like the 40 to nothings and everything in between. I think you got to make him pay for having wide receivers he doesn't fully trust yet.
Right.
And another dropped what would have been 80-yard touchdown from Christian Watson. I would love to see that again.
Mm-hmm.
And if another thing you're looking at too, like, Jaire Alexander has been regarded, when healthy, as one of the best corners in the league. Like, him against Justin Jefferson, you wouldn't even have known Alexander was on the field. And they sat in this zone coverage, which, I get it. Like, you're scheming for Thielen and Jefferson, and then you see the Bears, like, they had 22 yards passing in the second half.
Where's
Cole? They're totally different circumstances. But Mooney has to win that matchup. You need Cole Kmet to get the ball. You need Fields just to step up and make some plays. But it just feels like just some insurmountable, foregone conclusion you're going to lose to them. And until proven otherwise, that's pretty much the reality.
I was in Palm Springs, California on a company trip at a bar called Beer Hunters. And it Sports Illustrated years ago ranked it as one of the top 25 sports bars in the country. It's the same bar at a different point in time that I saw John Makovic and talked to him about Illinois beating Ohio State. I know I've said that story, but the Packers beat the Bears like 40 to nothing that Sunday. And Steve Anderson is his name. He owns an agency up in Rockford area. He looks at me and he's like, Lon, and this was early in Rodgers' career. He looks at me and he goes, I just dealt with this crap for so many years with Brett Favre, and now I'm going to deal with this crap for the next 10 to 12 years with Aaron Rodgers. I think we're on year 10. And he nailed it. You're laughing. Did somebody
maybe it's the end. The text line's keeping me in check. I did see the last Bond movie. They're asking me that.
Oh.
I hope that this is the last Rodgers movie.
I didn't know that about James Bond.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was like 3 years ago. It's not like we're giving this away, right? If you haven't seen
the
movie.
We knew that was Daniel Craig's last one. Not that I
expected
the ending.
I'm being dead serious here. When they change Bond guys, do they kill Bond every time? Like, did Roger Moore die? Or was this just like, we're not making another Bond movie?
But they will.
I was going to say, why wouldn't you? Royal Casino, is that
Casino
the last
Royale.
One? Casino Royale.
That was Daniel Craig's best one. That was one of his early ones. That might have been his second.
Oh, so that wasn't the what was the last one?
I
need to watch it. Like,
is it No Time to Die? I can't.
Maybe that's it. Oh, that does sound right. I mean, it sounds right. James Bond is like, who am I thinking of? Like the Roadrunner and Beep Beep. Who's the one that never died? Like, that never, like, oh, it's the mouse.
Wile E. Coyote.
The coyote's always asked. Yeah. But it's like, you know, he always gets, like, Bond is that guy. Like, he always, in the end, like you said, analogy-wise, he's Aaron Rodgers. I would like to see Bond die. That sounds horrible, but I'm just I want to see how they do it. I didn't see that. Now you've piqued my interest by telling me what happens. Honestly. That's funny. That is kind of funny. What did you think of last night? Number one, I had forgotten all about that the game was being streamed. And I was talking to Lucas, and I'm like, yeah, I can't find the game. And he starts laughing. He's like, Dad. And, of course, I'm at my mom's house, right? And I'm just like, she's got DirecTV, which is cool. And I'm just like, I can't find the game. Is it? Do you know what channel it's on? He starts laughing, and I'm like, oh, crap. Is this the streaming one? And he goes, Dad, every Thursday night. And I'm like, well, forget it then. So I watched Cardinals baseball for a while, and then that wasn't that fun. So I watched Naked and Afraid for like 2 hours. That's what I did. You know what? You know what? Here's to you, NFL. Screw you and your Thursday night streaming crap. And the day you go to complete streaming, I'm done. I won't watch. If I walk into a bar and they've got it on, I'll watch it. If the Cardinals happen to be playing for a Super Bowl that year, I'll watch it. Otherwise, I don't need it. I don't.
Man, that's my old
man
take.
That's my old man
take.
It is
an old man take.
I've gotten to that point where I'm just like, all right, well, whatever.
Does anyone in your family have Amazon Prime?
Yes, I can access Amazon Prime.
So then you should just, you have a smart TV, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, then you get the app.
I know, but
I know it's principle. I know it's something you don't want to do.
I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
You can get it for free if somebody already has Prime. Here, if you have Prime yourself, you're just...
Can I throw... Okay, I don't know. No, I don't want to go into this diatribe. I sit here and I'm like, I guess this is... Because this is the future of television, right?
You're just going to deprive yourself of watching...
Well, this year's a good
that,
year.
Yeah, I mean, especially... But... Herbert against Mahomes last night was pretty good.
That is true.
Pretty good TV. Or should I say streaming.
I'm in a bad spot with my Cardinals not being good and my fantasy team already hurt. Like, Swift is hurt. Keenan Allen's out. Zach Ertz is hurt. I'm going to lose. I'm not going to have a good season. So part of me is just like, I've given up after 1 week. So that's kind of why I'm in my way of telling the NFL I'm giving up on you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not doing anything special. If I can sit down and watch the St. Louis Cardinals play baseball,
well, they're up.
Then I'll watch that on Thursday night.
Sure.
But that's going to end soon.
It will. The one thing I would say, and I understand the more different streaming services we will have,
mm-hmm.
it will cancel out. But there have been options here recently where getting like a YouTube TV has been less expensive than paying for
that's true.
Comcast or paying for DirecTV. So it almost saved you some money. But now it's like coming up now with the new Big Ten contract. Right. You're going to need Peacock to watch every Illinois game. You're going to need...
So now I got to have Peacock
Amazon
and
Prime
Amazon
to watch
Prime.
The NFL games. And you're going to need, you know, just and there's going to be something different.
Yeah. Next
ESPN Plus to watch something.
And next year, the NFL will stream on Philo TV or something. I think there is something called Philo TV. Ironically, we're in Philo.
Let's see. I'm a sucker. I got to watch all the sports I can.
I know.
I don't care about what it is I got to do it. And I watched last night's game, and it was a good one.
Whatever. This is what I feel like right now. I feel like just getting in the truck and just slamming Eminem as loud as I can, like this, so I'm just yelling at myself.
On a CD player.
You know what? I don't care about you, NFL. Take your streaming and shove it right up your...
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Illini Link is the University of Illinois Alumni Association's new professional networking and flash mentorship platform. Join the Illinois alumni community at illinilink.illinois.edu.